Welcome back to the lighter side of everything. Oh, coming to you live in this recording. Oh, yeah. So right off the bat, we have the social media, you know, the Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, those crawlers, the Light Comedy. And then there's thelightcomedy.blogspot.ca, thelightcomedy.wordpress.com. Keep the love coming. And then you can find the lighter side of everything on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and Feedburner. And of course, as always, shout out to archive.org for storing all my stuff. Well, this episode's another one of those ones where there's not a lot of hidden meaning in the title. You can probably guess exactly what this episode is about. So, what it's about? Well, it's about the finer side of life. About the thing we all strive for. Yeah, it's about sex. You know, in some regards, I think sex is built up too much, and others, not enough. Now, who is it not built up enough to? You know, 16-year-olds that are pregnant. Yeah, it's, this is quite a diverse thing. It's kind of funny that, like, we've alluded to it in other episodes, but, yeah. Haven't really had a sexual conversation or talk in a long, long time on this show, so here we are, your sexual education letters out of everything style. So, it'll also jump back and forth, I want to be clear, that it's not so much a chronological story of my life, you know, it's not really much to share, no, but, yeah. So, sex. Where's the first thing that you hear about sex? From your friends. From, well, hopefully not your family. Well, maybe. That's part of the debate I'll get into, too. But, oh, this is so funny to think about. The first person that stands out of my mind, now, definitely not the first person that taught us about sex, was Mrs. Zorn, who was the drama teacher in my high school. And you'll definitely, some of you will be like, whoa, was that the first time you learned? And that's why I stipulated, no, no, no. We've been learning about it for many years. That old man on the corner always informed us a little tidbit. He's like, hey guys, hand jobs are great. And we're like, okay, Mr. Brown. Now, that never happened. Don't go looking for a Mr. Brown. Yeah, so Mrs. Zorn, she was a drama teacher who, for some reason, taught us sex ed. I can't exactly remember why it was her. Yeah, I don't know. She wasn't an English teacher at all. And, I mean, Ms. Zorn, you can already imagine where this story is going. No, I like to put some ambiguous things in the podcast like that sometimes. Be like, I mean, you know what I mean. And people are like, no, we have no idea what a name like Ms. Zorn would entail that this story's about. Ms. Zorn was talking about sex prevention and birth control methods. And we're in grade 9, again, for those of you who don't remember, my high school started in grade 9. And she, being a drama teacher, couldn't just talk about something, couldn't just, you know, describe it. She had to, that's right, act it out. Now, since she wasn't a man, she didn't act out the male parts. And to this day, whenever I hear the term in news or whatever discussion about a female condom, I think of Ms. Zorn. I picture this woman bent over, not bent over, but kind of in a weird, like, haka, like, squat position, and describing the motion that a female condom would take, but with exaggerated motions. I don't know if it was scarring, hilarious. Like, I still picture it to this day. But for her, it would be like if you were on, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway, and they're like, imagine you had to carry something between your legs, but you had to pick it up from the ground. She started with this giant swoop, and I wish I could do a video to show you. But basically, the swoop from the ground with her one hand, like a female condom goes on like this, and goes with her hand and like basically does like a big scoop, like from the ground. That's the sound you picture it making. Yeah. I'm sure she scarred and gave you some fond memories to look back at. But the only other one that stands out from school was actually many years earlier. It was my grade 6 teacher, Mrs. Reimer. And yeah, she basically had us all sit down and we just wrote out all the words, all the bad words about sex or the go ahead share. Now of course no one's gonna go up there and be like, oh yeah, definitely Ms. Orne, there's a good old fuck tits, add that to the list. Ms. Orne, Ms. Reimer. But they're definitely gonna go and share all the, you know, tits, breasts, cans. And of course it was a rather limited list considering we're in grade 6. But you wanna like nail it. You wanna be the one that's like, I'm gonna say this one, gazungas, right? You know, and yeah, we just said all the different words, and we just put them on the board, and before we started sex ed, and she just said, okay, now for the rest of this discussion, anytime we talk about sex, we'll not use any of these words. We will use the appropriate words, which was quite lame. Who wants to talk about breasts and testicles? You know, we want to talk about testes and breasticles. But yeah, I think it was a good technique to cut it off right at the pass. But it was one of those things, like, we never really talked about sex at home. Like, it was just one of those things. I don't know if my parents just intentionally were like, let's leave it up to the school. But, you know, my dad never, never had a birds and the bees talk. And my mom, you know, it was funny because, as I mentioned in many episodes, my door to my room didn't close. And so mainly I lived in my basement and I lived on the couches and that, because it was, you know, why not live in a room with a TV? And, yeah. So when I had girls over in high school, junior high, not so much, a little bit, but high school. Yeah, there wasn't a great deal of privacy. There wasn't a lot of reasons. I know I said was, and there was a lot in those last few seconds, so bear with me. But there wasn't a lot of reasons to come downstairs for my parents, mainly the two to be. In most cases, to do laundry, because the laundry room was downstairs, and to get something from the freezer, or cleaning supplies or something from the I don't know, the laundry room, I guess you'd say. It's a giant room, so I feel like it should be more than just a laundry room. It should get its due. But, yeah, my mom was kind of, I don't know, the cool parent. She never, like, checked up on us in that way. I was about to say, she never checked up on us. That made it seem like we could just be juggling flaming chainsaws. No, like, she never really was the overbearing parent in that regard when it comes to things like sex or drinking. I think she kind of just tried to raise us and hope that we would do the right thing. And we sure didn't. No. I got a girl pregnant when I was 12. No, that was always my biggest fear. And I never understood how that wasn't a more powerful motivator to people. I mean, I don't know the statistics of 16 and pregnant in North America, but it sure seemed like a higher number when my sister would watch shows like Jenny Jones and Maury. He is not the father. And the guy would be like, oh, yeah, doing the Kool-Aid dance. Oh, yeah. It was this thing that I was like, yeah. Like, and this was at the age when I started to want to have sex and those shows were on. I mean, they're still on, but it was when my sister watched them. But it was kind of just like, yeah, sex was appealing, but the sheer aspect of it, like, it was always a dream. And I don't know, this might be a completely different thought, because I've expressed this to people and they're kind of like, well, guys are like, dude, you're lame. Why didn't you just nail her? And I was like, well, that would be because I don't want to have a kid and we didn't have condoms or that stuff. But like, yeah, I told this story to a friend recently. I think it was a friend, hopefully not a business colleague. And I was talking about how there was this French girl who moved to our school, and I hate to live up to the, you know, European and French stereotypes, but she was much more open and like willing to do things. And I was 15 at the time and she was 14, and she was just full on ready to have sex. And it was funny because there was nothing stopping us except for me. And it might sound lame, but I was just, I was just not ready, because that makes it sound like I was just not mentally prepared. I wasn't, like, honestly, I was just like, nope, like, sex can lead to pregnancy, you know, to quote Mean Girls, which my girlfriend will love, you'll have sex, then you'll get pregnant, and then you will die. I hope I didn't butcher that quote for all those Mean Girls lovers out there. But the funny thing was that it was always like a story. I didn't really share it around to too many guys, because you learn from one experience. You sort of tell guys that you had an opportunity to do something, like, oh, it just didn't feel right, or like, I don't know, she wasn't all that sober. And then guys are just like, dude, lame. So you know, then you learn, well, I learned anyway, I don't know if most guys did, that you don't share those things with your guy friends or at parties. Hey guys, guess what? story to tell around the chips and dip. The funny thing is that, so, you know, this girl wanted sex, and after a while she kind of learned that I was not going to be the guy to give it to her, literally or metaphorically. So she went on to pretty much my exact opposite. This kid, we'll call him Tim Bruhaha. And Tim had an older brother, Chris Bruhaha. And they were both, well, I'm 99% sure neither of them graduated high school. They weren't particularly rude to me. They weren't crazy. They just, they were these guys that you knew before you knew what druggies were. Like, those are druggies. And you're just like, what does that mean? When your conception is only from movies and television. But yeah, so anyways, Tim Bruhaha started dating this girl. And then all of a sudden, Tim wasn't at school. And of course, you naturally assume in my school, in high school, that, well, Tim dropped out. No, what had happened was very new guy-esque. And if anyone remembers the start of the movie, The New Guy, with DJ Qualls, yeah, do you remember what happened? Let you think for a second. Basically, at the start of the movie, he gets his penis broken. Very funny scene. The old librarian thinks he has something hidden in his pocket, and spins around the wheelie chair, and he's trying to get her off without using his hands or something. Not get her off in that sense, you gross people. But yeah, anyways, that is essentially what happened to Mr. Bruhaha. Except without the library and all that. Yeah, apparently she was on top and having sex, and she came down on such an angle while they were having sex, it snapped his penis in half. Not broke it off. And that's the way people always said it to me. And I probably thought it at first too. Was like, what? It broke. Now it's like half the length or something. And they're like, no, you idiot. Like, it broke it. Like, it broke your arm. And I, again, was like, what? How do you break something there's no bones in? And evidently, it is something that can happen. And, yeah, I can only imagine the note that was written to school. No, I know they probably didn't have to go into detail, but yeah, how do you feel if you're that girl? Like, you know, she breaks men. That's what you hear about in the movies. Like, she would crush you. I don't know. I just jump straight to the Ivan Drago, but I just picture that's her reputation from now on. You know, there's a movie made, you know, she's 17, moves to a new school, possibly where there's werewolves and vampires. They talk about, oh yeah, she's good looking. Maybe she'll hook up with her. And some guy goes, have you not heard? She will break you. I like to joke. Yeah, and so luckily I don't have any like sexual mishap stories. There's one from a real old episode, but it pales in comparison. That's all I can say to these stories. When I was in high school, the next one, again, not about me. I was actually there for this though. And so there was this girl, and I would like to give her a fake name, but let's not. Her name was Angel. Yeah. Angel was a classy gal. And I don't remember the other guy's name, so let's stick with it and say his name was Tim as well. And although it was a different guy, to be clear, to keep your tracking of who these people are straight. And, well, Tim and Angel were having sex. Which, again, totally fine. There is a backstory to who these people are, but essentially, it's not really relevant to the story. All you need to know is that Tim Fluhaha, lived with, I guess my friend lived with him, and they lived in like a basement suite of a house. And so we were sitting in the living room playing video games. I think there was three of us, yeah. And Tim and Angel were in the bedroom having sex. I still like to reference this story to this day. Again, this is high school. I want to say grade 11, 12, that summer in between. And so we're up there playing video games, having a good time. And there's three of us on the couch. And then we hear this noise coming from the other room. Now, evidently, Tim, liked to have sex with the door open so people could hear. So Angel starts going, oh, Tim. And then there's a pause and he yells at her comically, Will Ferrell style, call me Austin, bitch. And then we die laughing, of course, as one would. And then a silence. And that's right. This is not a fake story, not exaggerated in any way. She starts moaning, Austin, who, for clarity, is one of the guys in the living room. Yeah, soak that in. And in the same sex session, although I imagine on the second wind, if I had to lay out the time frame for you, she starts going, oh God, oh God, oh God. And it's funny because I just remembered the guy's actual name now from the story. But yeah, she goes, oh God, oh God. And of course, Tim has to be a hilarious man. And I don't really know this Tim all that well, but this is probably one of the five times I ever met the guy. But yeah, she goes, oh God, oh God. And he interrupts her and goes, who's your God? So feel free to use that. Any sort of joke or sex scenario, you know, maybe writing your own script. Oh, so good. Oh, it just takes me a bit to get over that story from laughing to myself. Yeah, she was an angel. You know, that girl deserves to have her name mentioned. Again, absolute defense libel is truth. I have no idea what happened to any of those people. I assume they all got pregnant and died, even the men. But yeah, sex. It was this thing that it was like I was brought up around, you know, I was born from sex. I don't know. It's this separation of taboo. Like, parents never talked to me about it. This is the weird part. My parents never talked to me about it. I honestly don't think my birth parents were having sex. I'll mention the story that my mom's remarried, and many stories that my mom's remarried into my stepdad, and that's great for her. And then she, who never talked to me in sex growing up, talked to me about sex growing up at all. What she did do was allude to sex and talk about sex when she's with my stepdad. And for those of you going, oh, well, you know, maybe she's trying to, like, you know, do whatever. No, when she married my stepdad, she, well, I was 19. 19? 20. When they finally got married, I want to say I was either 19 or 20. Point is, that is not the time to start telling your children about your sex life, or if there's ever a good time. me and my sister have both talked, but been like, yeah, so that's weird, inappropriate, you know, take your choice. And, you know, hats off to my mom for feeling like she can share different stuff with us. You know. It's one of those things, like, you hear the opposite, or, you know, that would be the part in a movie, and, you know, I'm definitely saving this for a movie if I ever write one. But, yeah, and this is making it seem like my mom's some weird free spirit. No, and she wasn't liberated and had a different sex life. Just this one thing she just felt like she could share with us, and we're like, you know what, take that information. You go ahead and lock that up and throw away the key. Literally. And any other sense you can think of. Yeah. It was information that my sister and I definitely didn't need. Well, I don't like to speak on other people's behalf, so I'm going to guess she didn't need it either. And yeah, that's sex for you. Those are some of the sex stories. It's not funny to talk about my own stories, put me in those scenarios. They're not as comical, not as big. I do have funny sex stories, and again, it'd be easier to talk about those if someone was here, because otherwise it seems like bragging or exaggerations. Not even about, like, I had sex with 12 women, but we'll tell this end story to go out on about someone else telling a sex story. That basically, there's this guy that I mentioned other stories, but you probably won't remember him. His nickname's the One Upper, and we went to a bar once, and I said, yeah, like, Craig, who's been on this podcast, this is when we're at Craig's 19th birthday. So anyone listening, don't think that this happened anytime recently. We went to a club, Craig's first time in a club, and Craig made out with this girl in the smoke pit back when they still had smoke pits. I think they still have smoke pits, actually. What am I talking about? I talk like I'm 90 years old. And we go back to the group, which includes the one-upper, and this guy is like, where'd you guys get off to? And we're like, oh, man, Craig was making out with this girl in the smoke pit. And he goes, big deal, made out with 7 girls since I've been in here. That's right, 7. I'd go into describing this gentleman, but basically he's skinny fat and a gangly man and kind of looks a little bit like a Skeletor, but with hair? It was really nice hair, but yeah. That's what I mean, jumps to 7. So he was at another party we were at, and we were talking about sex, and I was saying, and I truly believe this, I don't know if I would ever actually have a threesome. Ladies, ask your men if this is something they would actually do. Not want to do. I think every guy would want to, but many things. Whether they'd be physically capable of having a threesome. That's right. If they would be up to the task, if they'd be able to do it. I mean, and whether they're, you know, as a guy wants to have a male-male threesome or a lady-lady threesome. You know, obviously they're involved in that in some way. And yeah, I genuinely have thought about it and be like, I don't know. I just don't know if that's something that appeals to me. First off, I think my skill at sex comes from the fact that I can focus and do certain things real well. I don't know if I'd just be good at it. Don't know if I'd be capable. I've honestly voiced that. Someone's like, yeah, but you wouldn't try? I'm like, again, I don't know that situation would come up. And I would also probably hopefully be the person be like, let's think about how this plays out in the long run. This is weird, right? So, anyways, we're at this party, and I was talking about this, my theory on threesomes, and he goes, yeah, it's not a big deal. I was like, yeah, talking about it? No, it's not. He said, and I knew where he was going, because I knew him, but nobody else really did at this party. And he goes, I've had a threesome. Yeah, 2 chicks. And I'm like, oh, yeah? And before any of us can get into it and start questioning it, because he's trying to break down the story, old roommate Dane was like, oh yeah, I haven't had a threesome, but I had fucked on a tiger. And Dane made it his mission to, whenever the one-upper would one-up a story, he would just crazy one-up it, be like, mm-hmm, yeah, no, I've done that. I actually had a knife in my throat the entire time I was making out with that girl. It's what you call a Siberian kiss. Oh, the one-up stories. But honestly, I'd like to do a poll. If people were to genuinely, internally look at it themselves, and mainly men, I think women are probably more realistic in this regard. But yeah, just think about that. And if I'm wrong, and you're all going to go with the, no, dude, no, bro, then I'm wrong, and I have somewhat lost faith in society. That was us talking about sex, the educational episode. And again, no stories for myself in there. So, feel free to let me know your thoughts, or if any of your parents or anyone else told you an inappropriate story, it might inspire another podcast. Until next time, I hope you're inspired to talk about sex with your kids or with your parents. Until next time, this has been The Lighter Side of Everything. Bye-bye.